temp check. What kind of summer are we having this year? A family road trip summer? A beach bum summer? Or a wake me when the sun sets summer? With Instacart, choose your own adventure and skip the shopping side quests. Where available, you can get ice cream delivered to your hotel, sunscreen to the pool, or cold brew to your bed. Well, door, in as fast as 30 minutes. Wherever you find yourself this summer, you can get the goods. Download Instacart for free delivery on your first three orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Minimum $10 per order. Excludes restaurants. Additional terms and fees apply.
TuneIn is the audio platform with something for everyone. News.
In order to secure convictions in a court of law, it is essential that we conclusively.
Sports.
Shot clock at four. Doncic. The step back three. You bet.
Music.
You set my world on fire. Yes,
and even podcasts. Whatever you love, hear it right here on TuneIn. Go to TuneIn.com or download the TuneIn app to start listening.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Healthy baby skin starts from the bottom. Pampers Swaddlers diapers absorb wetness away from the skin better than the leading value brand, with up to 100% leak-proof protection to help keep your baby's skin dry. Don't forget to pair Pampers diapers with new Pampers Free and Gentle Wipes. They clean better and are 5 times stronger than Huggies Natural Care for easy cleanup without fear of tearing, no matter the mess. For trusted protection, trust Pampers, the number one pediatrician recommended brand.
It is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on the Infinity Sports Network. Happy Friday. Much love to everybody tuned in and locked in all over North America. My people getting to the money. My people leaving the money. My people on the road trips. My people on vacation. And shout outs to the police officers, the firefighters, all my folks representing the military, past, present, and current. My people here in the United States of America. My people in Canada. My folks overseas. People listening on the free Odyssey app. People listening live on the radio, wherever the hell they live. The mountains, the woods, through the trees, grandma's house. You can always lock in on SiriusXM channel 158. And if you have a smart speaker, ask it to play the Infinity Sports Network. I'm coming to you live from Atlanta, Georgia. I'm in the woods. Well, the whole city is in the woods. The whole city's in a forest. But I'm downtown, midtown. I'm in the middle of the city on Peachtree Street, the main one. Super producer and host Ryan Hickey is in New York. Downtown, Manhattan, New York City. Thank you for listening to the show. We get started every single weekday at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific. Where the hell you been? Been here for an hour already. If you missed it, hit rewind on the free Odyssey app. Pretty simple. The Celtics smacked the Mavs. We talked about the distance for the NHL Stanley Cup Finals. You start thinking about the distance between basically Sunrise, Florida, Miami, going up to Edmonton is too damn far for me. Too damn far. Gives me the heebie-jeebies thinking about it. And then we just talked about giant people. Kristaps Porzingis, a great giant, helped the Celtics win last night. Talked about Joel Embiid. Why the hell is he eligible to play for the United States? Well, he's a citizen now. Why is he eligible to play for France, Team USA? Hickey, what's the other one? Is it African team? I don't know.
Yeah, is it
Cameroon?
Cameroon, yes. Cameroon, good call.
Their team is eligible to play for something?
I think they can compete. You know, I don't know if they're going to qualify, but I think they can play in the qualifiers, which is maybe why Embiid decided, hey, I'm not going to play for my home country.
Oh, come on. I know Nigeria was good enough, you know, for years. Damn, I know Cameroon was that good. I don't know another Cameroonian player.
Well, that bad, right?
What? What's bad?
Cameroon.
I don't know a Cameroonian player.
That's what I'm saying. So maybe that's probably why he didn't even consider playing for his home country originally.
Because
it's him and, like, you know.
There was a He's retired. Luke Bamute. It was him. And he doesn't play anymore. He's like in man. He might be running the Cameroonian team right now. Okay. So anyway, congratulations to everybody 7 feet and taller. If you're more than 7 feet listening, congratulations. Good for you. 855-212-4227. Maybe you can represent Team USA in the Olympics. Maybe. Probably not, but congratulations on being 7 feet. Anyway, we got somebody representing Team USA joining us next hour. There was a big upset in the cricket world yesterday. Team USA beat Pakistan, and we're going to have one of Team USA's players, Corey Anderson, is going to join us next hour. How about this? In about 15 minutes from now, we're going to have a conversation with a good buddy of mine, Nick Hausselman, Coach Nick from B-Ball Breakdown. This man has spent the past 15-plus years online in a way that no one has ever done, like really breaking down games online. Like, he's a coach. It's like sitting down in a coach's room and learning from Coach Nick. And so he's going to join us in 15 minutes to talk about this disaster of a performance by the Dallas Mavericks last night, as they were wiped out by the Celtics. The final score was 107-89. We know Kristaps Porzingis lit it up for 20. Kyrie only had 12. Luka had 30. And a big part of the conversation leading up to the game was, what was Kyrie Irving going to go out there and do? Was Kyrie Irving going to succumb to the booze? Or was he going to light him up? Well, he just sucked as an overall. And then after the game, Kyrie Irving had the nerve to say, well, yeah, we lost, but I thought the booing was going to be louder. Listen to what Kyrie had to say after the game.
It's just experiencing the playoffs here, even regular season. It's been the same thing. I thought it was going to be a little louder in here, but I'm expecting the same things going into game two, crowd trying to get me out of my element.
And Jason Kidd, his head coach, spoke about a variety of things, including the Lakers job. We'll talk about that later on. But Jason Kidd also was asked about Kyrie's game, and Jason Kidd was like, man, I ain't worried about it.
Yeah, I thought he had great looks that just didn't go down. He had some great looks at three. He had some great looks in the paint. That's just part of basketball. Sometimes they go in, sometimes they don't. Tonight they just didn't go down for Kyrie or most of the team. And hopefully we get those same shots in game two and we can be better.
Come on, Jason. I need more answers. Why did your team suck?
Give the Celtics credit. They did a great job tonight defending, making it tough on us. We had some good looks that didn't go down. We got to move the ball. The ball just stuck too much. And we'll be better in game two.
Okay. Reasonable enough, right? I expect them to be, they can't be worse than they were, right? 89 points. A lot of those points were scored in garbage time by garbage time players. And so Kyrie Irving had a lot of opportunity to sit on the bench and just kind of soak it in. And it wasn't as crazy as it's been in years past. I mean, it was only a couple of seasons ago when Kyrie went back as a member of the Brooklyn Nets. And they're actually fans in the stands because, you know, there was this pandemic thing. And Kyrie Irving was getting cursed out. I mean, you could hear it on ABC. They were letting him know that, hey, Kyrie, you suck.
Hands, I'm going to move it, and I'm going to trust the guys around him. Incredible.
25 assist doors proves what you're talking about. 25 points on 40 field goals. 31 seconds to go, and the lead swelling to 7.
That chant was about Kyrie Irving. He's shaking his head, smiling. Jason Tatum's telling the crowd, be quiet.
Doris Burke is Hickey, she's so sweet, right? Isn't it? Is that a good thing to say about an announcer? I'd cancel for that.
No, you're absolutely right. I mean, she could easily said what they were saying, and instead she goes, they're saying something about him.
There was a point last night during the game. Jaylen Brown hit a big three at the end, kind of to spread the lead back far. And she said something about, that's the face of a man who says, yes, I've been working on my three-point shot from when I came into the league. Something of that nature, right? And I said to myself, I'm like, okay, all right, that was interesting. And of course, I went online and somebody quoted her for what she said. And then a guy goes, Mark Jackson would have said, Mama, there goes that man.
That is a legendary line.
You know, it was like, hey, Jaylen Brown hits a big shot. Mark Jackson would have said, Mama, there goes that man. Doris Burke goes, hey, there's the face of a young man who's improved his 3-point shot from year one. It's just like, yeah, you know, everybody has different personalities, you know, it's a different strokes for different folks.
And then Jeff Van Gundy chimes in. And these refs suck, by the way. They're just making awful calls all game.
Yeah. You know, I didn't really listen to the broadcast at all because the game was a beatdown. And so there was nothing really intent to pay attention to. There's nothing interesting about this group. And I guess if J.J. Redick doesn't get the Lakers job, are we stuck with him? They're all pretty boring, if you ask me. But at least Mike Breen is still there. And I don't know. Maybe Doris Burke is so sweet. Maybe she won't do the announcements of the crowds telling people that they suck. And I expect maybe Kyrie gets booed a little bit more in game two on Sunday night. Or maybe the fans are just like, we're done with this guy. Why bother wasting energy on him? We don't need to bother. And the fans in Boston, they're known to be rather rambunctious. They're known to be a little bit more on the offensive side. I mean, a guy got arrested for throwing a cup at Kyrie Irving a couple of seasons ago when he returned in Brooklyn. And so, yeah, maybe Kyrie Irving was justified in throwing up the middle finger a couple years ago. I don't know. I wouldn't have done it, but maybe he was ticked off. And it's kind of crazy that last night Kyrie said he expected the fans to be louder. Mike Gorman, legendary Celtics broadcaster. He just retired, by the way. And so now he gets a chance to take in the games. Well, he was there last night, and he was chatting it up with the Sports Hub up in Boston on the radio today. Mike Gorman says, yeah, Kyrie was saying the fans weren't all that crazy and loud, but Mike Gorman said that Kyrie was talking trash last night. Listen.
And this guy was about 4 rows back, and he get up and he yelled at Kyrie when Kyrie came in the game, maybe the second or third time. And Kyrie kind of gave him a little back. And then the guy kept on him. And then Kyrie started looking at this guy and started pointing at him and started mouthing a variety of things to this guy. And next thing you know, the ball's inbound and people come up down the court and Kyrie's dealing with this guy. It went on for maybe 2 or 3 possessions. And in one of the possessions, he got the ball and made a couple moves. He couldn't do anything. He got rid of it and turned around and started going back and forth to the guy again.
Really?
It's crazy. I've never really seen that.
Oh, okay. I've seen that. I've seen it. I've seen a player go back. I mean, Luka Doncic just went back and forth with a guy in the Minnesota series, and eventually he called the guy a crap. Like, people go back and forth. Hickey, I don't think it's that bad, right? That's nothing. It's nothing.
You are right that it's happened before and it will happen again. I guess why for me it's interesting is the fact that Kyrie tried to talk about or talk down of like, you know, oh, I was immature when I went back with Brooklyn and I'm a changed man now and, you know, I'm different. And at least in game one, played terribly. And going back and forth with the fans seems like the fans are in his head more than he wants to let on.
You got to, if you're going to say all that, your point is ignore him, right? Is that what you're saying?
Right. Ignore him or play well. Right. Like, use it to fuel you. Don't play poorly and then add more fuel to the fire by talking to the fan and then afterwards be like, oh, yeah, it wasn't that loud. Like, what are you doing?
You know what should have happened yesterday? Well, no, I guess he's the away team. Remember earlier this season when Kawhi Leonard actually played basketball back in San Antonio and the fans booed him? Remember that?
Yes.
And Greg Popovich actually got on the microphone and told the fans, hey, we don't boo here. And I'm just like, okay, Popovich, just I pay my money. I'm going to do what I want. Listen to Greg Popovich from earlier this year. Kawhi Leonard was at the free throw line, and Popovich interrupted the fans. He interrupted the game to tell them to shut up.
And Kawhi with 8 points tonight, 3 of 5 from the floor. It is only 3.
Excuse me for a second.
Pops on
the
mic.
Stop all the booing. Let these guys play. It's got no class. It's not who we are. Knock off the booing.
I'm telling the fans to lay off Kawhi Leonard.
The fans booed him. If they spent their money, let them boo. And if you're watching the San Antonio Spurs, you got every right to boo, okay? You're paying to see Victor Wembanyama and those bums with him. They spend their money. Come on now. You got to learn how to embrace the boos. I remember Trae Young a couple years ago. He became New York villain number one. They still chant crazy things at Trae Young, and the Hawks suck. Trae Young even talked about it on his podcast. I mean, they didn't treat Kyrie like this. Listen to this.
How much real estate have you bought up in that fan
in New York? Head? Man, I got a lot, don't I? I got a lot of real estate up there.
That was a long time ago, bro, and that's still crazy.
Yeah, I mean, if it was forever ago, it feels like. But, I mean, that's what happens when you go in and you take over a city and you win and you don't let them go home victorious. If they want to start cheering on the guy that they're beating up all the time or start saying F&B, go ahead, but they need to let it go.
Man. Hickey, it's like a bad if you're a professional athlete, it's a badge of honor to be, cursed at by the opposing fans. I would embrace it, like be the bad guy, embrace it.
And in Trae Young's credit, in that series a few years ago, he did took a bow at the end of Game 5, unfortunately, but he lived in it and he played well and he thrived honestly in that environment.
Yeah, you got to know how to be good under pressure. And Kyrie, he is good. We've seen him perform under pressure, but. I don't know. He says the fans weren't loud enough. Maybe they'll be loud on Sunday. We'll see. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on the Infinity Sports Network. We're going to take a break. Game 2 of the NBA Finals takes place on Sunday back up in Boston. And when we come back on the other side, we're going to have a conversation with Coach Nick Houselman out of Los Angeles. This man does some of the most intricate basketball breakdowns of the pros, whether it be the NBA or EuroLeague. That you will see on the internet everywhere. We're going to ask him about the Mavs, how they bounce back, what the Celtics have been able to do, and who's ultimately going to win the title. Coach Nick is coming through to break down what we saw last night in the finals. It's the JR Sport Brief Show, the Infinity Sports Network.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
TuneIn is the audio platform with something for everyone. News.
In order to secure convictions in a court of law, it is essential that we conclusively.
Sports.
Shot clock at 4. Doncic. The step back 3. You bet.
Music.
You set my world on fire.
Even podcasts. Whatever you love, hear it right here on TuneIn. Go to TuneIn.com or download the TuneIn app to start listening.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader, like that car riding your tail. Or if you're tailgating right now, all those cars doubling as kitchens and living rooms are on AutoTrader too. Are you working out and listening to this ad at the same time? Well, multitasking pro, cars like the ones in the gym parking lot are for sale on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on Auto Trader. Just you wait. Auto Trader.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
I'm retired, okay? If you see me moving or running too much, just know there's danger, imminent danger, okay? It is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on the Infinity Sports Network Coast to Coast. We talked about the beatdown that the Celtics gave the Dallas Mavericks last night. We got game 2 coming up this Sunday. We got more basketball action. The Lakers have obviously jumped into the fray as well in the news cycle with all the words about coaching. To talk about it, right now we have a coach who's joining us live from Los Angeles. This man has one of the most popular basketball YouTube channels, flat period ever. It's called B-Ball Breakdown. Whether it happens to be the pros here in the United States of America, in the NBA or EuroLeague, we're being joined by Coach Nick Houselman of B-Ball Breakdown. Nick, how are you, Coach?
I am doing great. Great to talk to you, JR. It's been way too long.
I'm happy that you can join us. I know that you have intently watched Game 1 of the NBA Finals. Right out of the gate, did people expect the Celtics to smash them? Probably not, but the Celtics have a deeper team. When you watched the game last night, what were your initial observations?
Well, I think we were all surprised at how well KP played coming off of a huge layoff where he was injured. So that was a big one. That said, he was on fire in the first half and really didn't have an impact in the second half. So if the Mavericks were looking for any kind of solace in that, like, I think that they took a haymaker, and it was a real big one that knocked him and staggered him back. But there are some things they could probably take away that get him back in the series. So I think ultimately the score probably doesn't indicate how this series is going to play out by the end.
Coach Nick of B-Ball Breakdown is here with us, the JR Sport Brief Show. We saw Kyrie Irving had a poor shooting game, 12 points. Luka Doncic got his points. Nobody else really had any more. He had 30. What are some of the other effects? They couldn't score on offense, and they seemingly gave up everything. What are the Mavericks doing wrong, and what does Kidd need to adjust?
I think the biggest thing perhaps is going to be like who they're matched up with and some lineup stuff. I think that's always the big thing you're trying to figure out as the series starts. So they were trying to get away with like trying to find, well, who can Luka guard on that end, and like how can they hide him? They had him on Al Horford, but that doesn't work as well because Horford likes to set ball screens, and then that forces switches. And so now Luka's going to have to guard Tatum or Brown, and Luka was really bad on the defensive end. I mean, I don't think he was really good on offense either, even though he had a lot of points. But defensively, he was killing them all game long. So they got to find a better way to do that. And my take on it, I'm looking at this thinking, maybe they can kind of hide Luka on Derek White. Now, I know they tried doing that with Kyrie, but I think Luka is the guy they're going to want to target. He's a bigger guy, less mobile. So that's what I'd be more interested in. And then I think the other thing is Gafford, generally on the Mavericks side, plays like 3 minutes in the first quarter, and they yank him real quick, and they wanted to match, I know, Lively's minutes with KP. But I don't know. I would like to see a little bit more Gafford because, as we saw, you know, rookies don't always get a great whistle, especially deep in the playoffs. And so Lively in there, by the way, he earned all of his fouls. So I know people were mad on the Mavericks side, but those are all real fouls. But he needs to be smarter than that. But Gafford has a little bit more experience, is a veteran, and posed a lot of problems, even from the get-go. You might remember they threw it right down to the block because they had, Drew guarding him, I think, and they instantly had to rotate. He hits Jones for a three. So, like, that was something I would like to see more of happening. I think the Mavericks can get some more mileage out of.
Well, Nick, when I look at this series, I pretty much started with the stars. I said, you got Luka and Kyrie here. You have Tatum and Brown, and then you have additional depth on the Boston Celtics. From how you're describing it, you're saying pretty much almost the same thing. Is it they're at a defensive deficiency as well, the Mavericks? They can't score as much. You got to rely on two people, and then they can't keep up with them defensively. Is that accurate?
Well, I think it's just a question of who they guard and who they need, you know, who they put on who. And I think they can figure some things out. But, yes, the Celtics have guys that can shoot all over the place. So I don't blame them for trying to figure out or making a real difficult decisions here and how you do it. I might want to push back on who's deeper. Because after the top five, and then you have Porzingis coming off the bench, which probably won't last that long, you know, they bring Hauser, Pritchard, you know, maybe Cornette. Like, that's not a deep bench in my mind. Or, you know, that's not a ton of talent coming off the bench. They all fit beautifully. But I don't know. I would think that if you're looking at Lively, Hardy, Josh Green, Kleba, I think they match up pretty well as far as depth.
Okay. Head coach Nick Hauserman is here with us from B-Ball Breakdown. Having said that, who the hell do you think is going to win the series, Nick?
Well, I had originally chose the Mavericks in six. But I was also saying if KP comes back looking like the best version of himself, then you've probably got to pick the Celtics to win the series. It's only a question of how many games. I think a lot of people were in my sphere were saying Celtics in seven and that kind of take. So right now, geez, I might have to stick to my guns and sort of say the Mavericks in six and know I might have some egg on my face at this point. Certainly they lost, you know, the Celtics won at home big. But, you know, game two becomes so huge. So I'm going to put some eggs in that basket and feel like the Mavericks have a response And then at least with 1-1 going back to Dallas, I don't feel like completely thinking that I'm out of my mind by picking them to still win in six.
Coach Nick is here with us from B-Ball Breakdown. There's been a lot said over the years of the pairing of Tatum and Brown, and they have certainly added a lot of talent around them. How have you seen their usage change, if any, over the years?
You know, I don't know if it's changed that much. The one thing I thought was interesting was that when they went to the finals 2 years ago with Udoka, in the middle of that year, you might remember, it was very mediocre going up to the first 40-some games. They weren't playing that great. And then something clicked. Udoka grabbed some people by the jerseys. I don't know what he did. And then all of a sudden, they got the beautiful game happening on offense where everyone was driving and kicking and won more passes and the ball was flying all over the place, and it looked beautiful. And for the first time ever, we were really, in my mind, seeing like Tatum and Brown existing in that kind of way that they could be the best version of themselves. We don't really have that this year. Like, they don't, you know, drive, kick, pass, skip, pass, pass, shot. You know, they just do a lot more of sort of the ISO, one quick action, get the advantage, and boom, it's over. And that's a testament to how good both Tatum and Brown have become and have developed. So usage-wise, I think maybe some people might be surprised. Like, I might gravitate toward thinking that Brown has been more impactful than Tatum so far. And maybe it's a credit to Tatum, who's been willing to play more of a role to get everybody else to play better and have a better team. But we might end up finding out, you know, Brown might end up having a better series. It's very easy, in my mind, to see that happening. And by the way, what Brown is doing on Luka is also terrific defensively. So he's going to probably get a few more headlines, maybe a little bit more usage on that end too. And so as a result, you might end up, you know, looking at him as getting that little extra trophy at the end.
Well, Nick, we might see two Americans hoist the trophy, the Larry O'Brien. It might happen. We certainly know that Luka Doncic is continuing to expand his game in the NBA at 25 years old, get a lot of respect. And over the past several years, whether it's a Luka or Jokic or a Giannis or an Embiid, now we got a big Frenchman, a Wembanyama. The international explosion of the game is huge. I know you sit down and you watch a lot of NBA, you watch a lot of EuroLeague. For a lot of our listeners who don't understand, why are there so many European players coming over to the United States of America and dominating the league?
Well, first of all, the talent pool is so much larger if you look at the world versus just America, right? So that's a big part of it. And we always knew this was coming, I think, right? Because, again, we're talking about billions of people out there. You're going to find 10 or 15 or 20 that can really play basketball. So that's kind of what it is. But I certainly would imagine that, like, a lot of these, some coaches will tell you that the methods they're using, like in Europe, for instance, are superior as they're developing young players. And a lot of that is they're not doing, like, an AAU circuit where they're playing games so constantly that they don't have a time to, like, really develop their own games and individual skills like shooting. And that's probably part of it, too. And I think the biggest adjustment that they've made in the past, for a long time, the dribbling wasn't good enough. And so Americans could go in the Olympics or in FIBA tournaments, press them, and you know, win easily. Well, that ain't happening anymore because all the guards have figured out better ways of training dribbling. They already had better methods of shooting. And so as a result, and they play less games. They play a lot more small-sided games, 3-on-3, 4-on-4, and they build up that sort of soccer mentality where the ball moves. And as a result, you're getting, you know, a beautiful mix of players that have individual skill up the wazoo, but also want to play a team game and develop that. And that's really what's been a revelation for, you know, guys like Luka and Jokic in the league.
Yeah, Coach Nick is joining us from B-Ball Breakdown. I know you're based out in Los Angeles. There's a lot of talk about a potential future coach in Dan Hurley or Redick. What are your thoughts? What makes Dan Hurley so enticing? LeBron called him a genius. J.J. Redick, we haven't seen. What are your thoughts on what the Lakers are doing potentially with their coach?
I would be really, really surprised if Hurley leaves the comfy confines of Connecticut to come all the way out here in the NBA. I think he's got a great situation there. The way he coaches doesn't necessarily translate so well. I know he's talked in the past couple of years about an enlightenment that he's had in terms of not using the kind of things that his old man would do, like in terms of anger and disgust in his communication methods, which are, in my mind, very suboptimal and certainly don't work very well at all in the NBA. If you want an example, you could think of like Latrell Sprewell if you want to get over to the New York side of things, and how a yeller screamer kind of coach could fare in the NBA. That's extreme, but even still, would Danny Hurley be able to really change the personality? Like, I don't think so. The other thing is his beautiful offense, which is beautiful. Mixture of Princeton's triangle. It's got pistols. It's got all sorts of great stuff. They have a 30-second shot clock, and they use a lot of that 30 seconds. And they don't have that that same idea. You only have 24 in the NBA. Plus, if you want to get any of those actions going, you got to get the floor in a hurry to get into the half court to start running it. And I don't think LeBron and AD and those guys, you know, they've had a very slow pace for this whole time they've been in L.A. I don't see them necessarily in the last couple of years wanting to sort of push the pace there to get into these complex actions where you're running handoff into ball screen, into back door, into, you know, skip. I think that would probably be too much. So as a result, you know, what can Hurley do with some freeze-dried version of this beautiful offense? I don't know if he's going to want to do that.
When you think about the potential of adding J.J. Redick, you've heard rumors that Borrego is wanted by Anthony Davis. From your perspective, seeing all the Laker games that you do, who would be the best coach or what would be the best offense with a LeBron and a Davis out there?
Yeah, well, it's a great question. And, you know, listen, LeBron's last title was won by a rookie coach who took over in the middle of the year. So there's a little precedent there, and it's a complicated thing when you're talking about a LeBron team and who the coach is. And you can certainly don't have to go very far to ask Darvin Ham how that went. Because, you know, and by the way, I don't think that necessarily LeBron, you know, had everything to do with all that. But I can tell you right now, if the ownership had gone to him and said, hey, we were thinking about maybe making a change. If LeBron had said, no, I want Darvin Ham here, then Darvin Ham doesn't get fired, right? So we know that. And as a result, his input into the team and the tactics and how they play and how they substitute and all those things, this is LeBron talking about, you know, makes it an interesting situation for a head coach. So with that in mind, it would have to be someone that he has the, you know, immense respect for coming in already, right? And that's a big hurdle to get over. But as we've seen with what JJ's been doing with their podcast together, which very well might have been a part of the whole thing, right? Like, it's interesting how this all developed. But they started the podcast, we're seeing them interact together, and now all of a sudden JJ out of the woodwork, out of the blue, is now, you know, a serious contender. So you have to imagine, like, maybe this is all not planned, but, you know, in the back of LeBron's mind. That probably would work better than I almost think what Hurley would work.
Yeah, Coach, final question for you. I need your evaluation of Bronny James. What is he now? What could he be?
I went to USC UCLA in February, I think it was. I really wanted to see firsthand in person, got great seats, and was watching the game. And, you know, here's the thing about his numbers, right? Because everyone's looking about, you know, how can a guy who averages 6 points a game or whatever it is, you know, get drafted in the first round and even make it in the NBA. But he's playing behind a 50-year guard, ball-dominant guard, who was really good. And remember, Bronny missed the first, like, couple months of the season with a heart problem. So he didn't get any of the normal things a freshman would have gotten in terms of development, getting used to the team and all that stuff. So I'm not surprised that he was struggling and having a hard time finding where he could fit in. But what I was looking for are those little moments here and there where he would flash some of his ability. And in the game I went to, even one time, the ball swung to him as the clock was running down. He did a beautiful ISO move, turnaround jumper in the lane, elevated, and knocked it down. That was an NBA move. So I know he's been impressive in some of those workouts that we've seen little snippets of, in which he never misses a shot. It's kind of amazing how that works, right? but I think he might actually have a chance. I think he could develop. He's certainly been grown up in this environment and knows what it's all about. So I think he, you know, not that he might be a first-round draft pick, that's probably too high, but I have a feeling he might be able to get out there and not look completely overmatched. And that's probably the biggest goal anybody would have, because in theory, are you going to get LeBron if you draft him? Like, supposedly that's going to happen. And if that was you were a small market team and you had a chance to have LeBron play your team for a year or two, oh my goodness, you'd have to do that in a heartbeat.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I think he has a shot in the future. I just think right now, well, we know why he is where he is, and part of that is due to dad. Let's see if his skills can kind of jump out. Hey, Coach Nick, where can people follow you, your work, your videos, everything that you've done with B-Ball Breakdown?
Well, I've been doing this for so long that if you type in B-B-A-L-L, B-Ball, it'll probably autofill the B-Ball Breakdown on any platform. YouTube is really the hub. Twitter, you can actually get me directly if you want to talk to me. We have a great conversation every day over there, especially during the games. on Twitter or on X, whatever. And then, you know, it's everywhere on Instagram, TikTok, everywhere you find social media. I'm there with B-Ball Breakdown.
Hey, Coach Nick, thank you so much. I'll be looking forward to chatting with you down the line. Enjoy the rest of the finals, okay?
You got it. Thanks, JR. We'll talk soon.
Tired of sifting through countless supplements? Unsure of what's actually effective? Introducing Legion, the choice of over 800,000 discerning fitness enthusiasts. With all-natural products, clinically effective ingredients, doses, and hassle-free money-back guarantee, you can achieve your fitness goals without the unnecessary guesswork. Say goodbye to wasted efforts and hello to results with Legion. You don't need supplements to build muscle, lose fat, or get healthy, but the right ones can help. Visit LegionAthletics.com. Go to LegionAthletics.com to get 20% off your order now.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
It's the JR Sport Brief show here with you on the Infinity Sports Network. I think that he's from Los Angeles. He has to be a Lakers fan, right? There's no reason for him to like the Clippers. Come on, he likes Kobe, Shaq, Magic. Hey, shout outs to somebody else from Los Angeles, Coach Nick from B-Ball Breakdown. Hey, thank you for taking the time to hop on and chat it up with us about some hoops. I appreciate the time. Great stuff. B-Ball Breakdown. Go ahead and look it up. You know, we talked about coaching. You know, he had some thoughts as to whether or not Dan Hurley would transition over into the NBA with his offense, and given the timing, how he interacts with older players, I guess the oldest player in the NBA, and LeBron James, I think he would make a smooth transition. I think he'd be better than J.J. Redick, who has a zero experience. He'd just be a whipping boy, a bag boy, a water boy for LeBron James until he gets fired. I think Dan Hurley would have a little bit more teeth, and I think they'd give him a little bit more time at the same token to go out there and develop. Well, we'll find out soon enough. Because I'm sure once the finals end, or the day of the championship parade of the Mavericks or the Celtics, at that point, I'm sure the Los Angeles Lakers will announce who the hell is going to be their next head coach. I mean, even Jason Kidd was asked about this. I mean, he got better things to worry about, like trying to win a championship for the Mavs. But Jason Kidd, he had some thoughts on Dan Hurley and J.J. Redick. And listen to what Jason Kidd had to say.
Both basketball IQs extremely high. Whoever the Lakers choose, that's, you know, up to them. But when you talk about championships, Hurley has won two at UConn. I've gotten to play with Hurley in high school. He is a warrior. He's a champion. And so coaching runs deep in their blood, in that family. And so if he was to become a Laker, that's incredible for him and his family, but also for the Lakers. But J.J. also, you know, has a basketball IQ and understands how to play the game the right way. And so either candidate is going to be great for the Lakers to choose from.
Okay. Jason Kidd was a Laker. He was an assistant, right? And when they won in the bubble with Frank Vogel, Hickey, they should just, why? I don't know. I can't say why they're dragging this out. We got a report today that he actually met with the Los Angeles Lakers. How long after the finals does he get named coach? Or maybe he doesn't. When do they name a coach?
I mean, if the Lakers are ready to have this leak out game one before the finals, I mean, is it crazy to think that during the finals, maybe, let's just say Celtics run away with this. They're up 3-1 going to game five that morning. Does it come out?
Oh, my God. That morning?
Would you be surprised?
Oh, my God. No, I wouldn't be, right?
I mean, I don't know if Adam Silver would stop it, but...
What is he going to do? He can't do anything about it but curse them out after the fact. What is he going to do? Punish them for making an announcement? And here's the thing. They wouldn't even have to make an announcement. It could be another one of these ridiculous leaks, whether it be from Shams or Woj. These two are always battling it out. They need to have like a celebrity death match. That's what they need to do, right?
Wow, so we can only have one insider?
Yeah, why not? This is...
You know what? I'd watch that over Tyson Paul.
Well, you know
Mike that Tyson Jake Paul.
You think that fight's going to happen? It's been rescheduled.
I know. I don't know. I don't know if ulcers go away in a few weeks.
Ulcers when you're, how old is he? 58? He just turned 58?
Yeah.
Or next week or something like that? I don't know. When have you ever heard a boxer having to bow out of a fight due to ulcers?
Never.
What do you think Mike Tyson eats? And I think we're going through this with, who do we go through this with? Christian McCaffrey, right?
Yes, that's right.
I think at this point, I think very different diets. I don't know. Maybe Mike Tyson is a vegan. I don't know. Wasn't he a vegan at one point? Or I'm making that up.
That I don't know. But, I mean, anything with him would not surprise me. I feel like he could eat all meat, only meat. He could eat all grass. I don't know. He's out there.
Ah, here we go. He was. Iron Mike stopped with the vegan diet in 2020. I only eat elk and bison, wild stuff, and I'm starting to feel fit. I realize the stuff that's good for other people, like kale, vegetables, and blueberries, for me, it's really poisonous.
Poisonous? I was going to say it doesn't work, or for me, it's, you know, it doesn't fill me up. Poisonous.
Mike Tyson said, kale will kill me. Not adding meat to his diet had him compromising on his strength. Okay, I get that. I understand that. Okay. All right. There we have it. Okay.
Holy. You know what? The loser, Jake Paul, should make it interesting. If he beats Mike Tyson, he's got to go back on the vegan diet.
Who's going to tell Mike Tyson that, I don't know, the vegetables are poisonous? Who's going to tell him that?
You know what, Mike? You're right. I'm not correcting you.
Who's gonna tell him? Oh, my God.
You tell him, JR. I nominate
no,
you.
No. You know what? I've never met him. I don't even want to say Mike Tyson is on my list. I don't even think I have a list, but no. If I meet Mike Tyson, what are we going to talk about? What is there to talk about?
I mean, that's a good question. I don't know.
He's talked about everything. Hey, what are you doing? What are you up to? What's going on? I mean...
What would you talk to him about?
I don't know. I mean, politics? Politics?
Yeah, would you get his political thoughts? I mean, I don't think he's weighed in that arena yet.
Do I want him?
I don't know.
Hey, how are your pigeons? We could talk about pigeons and Brooklyn.
His acting.
Oh, Hangover, right?
Yeah, with his pet tiger.
Yeah, the Hangover.
I'm sure it was realistic.
Anything else we know about? I can't ask him about Robin Givens. I can't do that, right? No. He punched me into next week.
You can ask him about how his weed-shaped ear gummies, or ear-shaped weed gummies, I should say, how that business is doing.
I can't ask. I can't even ask him that.
No?
No. Evander Holyfield is here in Atlanta. I know Evander. Oh. Yeah.
Oh, okay. That's fair.
I know Evander. I know his family. I see his son all the time. You know, I can't. Can't ask Mike about the man that he bit his ear off. I can't do that.
Would you, on behalf of Evander, bite Mike Tyson's ear off? I'll take that silence as a yes. You're thinking about it, at least.
No. I physically assaulting Mike Tyson isn't something that I'm going to do. I think I'll decline on that one. Maybe I need to get in the gym first. Maybe that, or he has an ulcer before it's time to fight. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on the Infinity Sports Network. We're going to talk about Mike McDaniel, his motivational tactics. We got some kickers in the NFL who are trying to hurt people. We got a lot to do. Don't move. The Infinity Sports Network on a Friday.